the red, red robin comes bopping along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing that old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy.
Independent, totally biased, Hull Kingston Rovers. You are listening to the Red Robin podcast with Joe Appleyard and Chris Johnson. Welcome to another episode of the Red Robin podcast, and the biggest game of the season is finally here. It's Eastall v Westall, HU9 versus HU3, Red and White v Black and White, Robins against the Early Birds, it is of course Hull Kingston Rovers against Hull FC. In this week's episode, Rovers legend Scott Morrell joins us to discuss the topics of the last week. We review the fantastic victory over the Warriors, the new deals which saw Matty Staunton and Rowan Mills extend their stay in Eastall, and preview Saturday's derby, and Scott reminds us what it means to represent the Reds on Derby Day. We also speak to Scott about current Keighley teammate and future Robin PLT and what to expect from the exciting fullback. This is the Red Robin Podcast Derby Special with Joe Appleyard, Chris Johnson and Scott Morrell.
Welcome to part one of this Derby special of the Red Robin podcast. Before we speak to Hull KR legend Scott Morrell and get his take on Rovers' new signing Phoenix Loali Tonga guy, or PLT as we'll call him on the podcast, and also speak to him about his Derby memories and what it means to him playing against the Black and Whites. Chris, we've got so much to speak about. We'll try and let our emotion try and, you know, keep on the normal side at the moment. You know, we're both nervous, we're both excited, but we've got a job to do from doing this podcast first. Loads to talk about, mate. Let's start about the main issue that was announced a few minutes before kickoff. I thought personally it could have been done in a bit better way, but it's the decision that Neil Hudgell Hull Kingston Rovers are no longer for sale as Neil Udall stays on with his decision explained on the Hull Daily Mail. He don't want to walk away from the club now, mate. Obviously, it was announced in October last year, wasn't it, where the COVID was high, Rovers were doing rubbish, bottom of the league. No aspirations that Neil was going to step aside. We was upset, but we had these new owners maybe coming in, a consortium. There was all these talks about buying the stadium. That is still on the cards with the stadium buying, the recruitment. But Neil Udall carrying on. Easter lad, Rovers lad. Great that Neil's not stepping away, mate, and we know where the money's coming from now.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, mate, at the time, Neil Udall echoed what a lot of us as supporters were feeling, weren't he? Was, you know, the apathy, the disappointment, the, you know, everything that was going on around COVID. We was worried about, you know, where the game was heading, etc. So, you know, Neil's been involved with the club for a long time, and he's spent a hell of a lot of money, and he's been through the, you know, a lot of emotional turmoil, because when things don't go right, it's Neil Udall who cops the flak for it sometimes. So I couldn't understand why he made that decision at the time. Obviously, he's continued to invest in the side and into the club. He brought in Paul Larkin, who's been a fantastic acquisition. Obviously, Tony Smith appointed. And this season, he's starting to see the fruit, bear the fruits of his labour, isn't he? Because we're starting to see some real positive shoots coming in. And then the players have put us into a position where we look like we're going to finish in the playoffs. And I can understand why Neil is probably a bit more motivated. He's probably got a bit more spring in his step about Hull Kingston Rovers. And for me, mate, it's fantastic news. Obviously, the announcement just before kickoff came as a bit of a surprise. I thought the club could have made a bit more of it, because he really deserves the accolades that he gets. And I think the fans would have really wanted to show their appreciation to him. But c'est la vie, you know, it's announced and you know, it just gives us the chance to settle down and look to the future now, and look to the future with some certainty, knowing that we've got Neil Udall still back in the club.
Definitely, and probably both on and on the pitch, Friday night was one of the best nights Hull Kingston Rovers and Super League have had in a long, long time. I know we're biased, but there's no better atmosphere than Craven Park when Rovers are rocking. There was on fire. People like Matthew, the reporters from the League Weekly, Matthew Shaw in it, Jenna Brooks putting about the atmosphere, the Sky Sports people bigging Rovers up. And it's just great to see. And don't get me wrong, as much as we are buzzing, we're fifth, we sit in a really good position. People are saying, you know, we think, obviously we'll mention the derby and we'll get into the banter soon. People saying we think we're grand finalists. We're not. We've been at the bottom for so long. We're finally having a bit of decent success. There's so long to go. But Neil Udall, at this moment in time, it must be so good for him to see that he's coming back into it now, working with Paul Larkin, Danny Maguire, Tony Smith, Hodgson, Jean, everyone involved at the club. We've got a bit of positivity about us now, haven't we? And I think Neil deserves this, because he's got cut a lot of flack. He took a lot of stick, put a lot of money in for not really, you know, a lot of achievements, really. We've spoke about it before, haven't we, in previous podcasts. So at the minute, mate, Friday night was just everything what Hull KR's about at the minute. All the fans getting back together. We'd have liked to have seen more fans there, but we are growing. People are still wary after COVID. But Friday night, mate, really good. And how good was the atmosphere in Craven Street? I didn't get there personally myself. I know you did. Some parts, there was 2,000 people there, live music, food, drinks, people enjoying themselves. The photos looked great. That is what we need to carry on now, don't we? Get behind the boys. Let's create this party atmosphere, because we can go places with this stadium, with this team. And it's really good, mate. It was really positive signs. How was Craven Street, in your opinion? It looks pretty good.
Yeah, it was, mate. It was really good atmosphere in there. And hats off to Craig Franklin and Paul Larkin at the club for getting this over the line, because it's quite a innovative move, isn't it? We saw it with Toronto. They got something similar. And it's pretty unique in rugby league over in this country to have such a setting like that in a rugby league ground. So it was definitely welcome. And I went, mate. There's a few things, you know, that need sorting out. I think the BQ still needs sorting. I think that's for the whole stadium, not just Craven Street, that could do with a few more food outlets. But, you know, the club admitted it's work in progress. This isn't the finished article. And I think it's only going to get better, isn't it? They'll build on it each game and you know, they'll get it right. So it was refreshing, mate. And what I'm pleased to see is that people were turning up early, people stayed after the game, and people were spending money at Craven Park and not elsewhere. We heard from Rob Crossland on a previous podcast, didn't we? Just how important it is that people, that supporters, spend the money at Craven Park, and they don't go to places like Soccer Sensations, and they don't stay at home, and they don't just arrive 5 minutes before kickoff. They actually make it a real day of it. So it was great to see, mate. And there was a real buzz around the stadium, I felt. I think Craven Street definitely helped that. But there was just a real buzz. And just before kickoff, you know, I was getting really excited about the game. And the game definitely delivered, didn't it? Rovers delivered on the pitch. I think the club delivered off it. And I think us supporters delivered in terms of backing the team. And I think it was just one of them nights where everything went to plan. And we deserve more nights like that, mate. That shouldn't be a one-off. That should be the norm for us at Craven Park. So long may it continue.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I mean, I was just to the east, near the east and in the north, but on that east side, I thought, you know, seeing all the players, his wives, girlfriends and the kids in front, and there's a real unity with them. And I know it's silly, but stuff like that makes Rovers on the pitch better because they are really friendly bunch, aren't they? Especially the overseas lads, you know, Takarangi, Sims, Betty. They're all around at each other's houses. The kids are all at the same school. And that's great because they're building that unity off the pitch. They know each other from their NRL days. And that seems to be showing on the pitch, mate. So we'll move on to the victory. Obviously, fantastic. Rovers doing the double over the Wigan Warriors. Started off absolutely brilliant. Same as last week. Little crash ball, Albert Vette. It took him 13 games to score one in the league. Now he's scored two, mate. Great start from the Robins. 5 minutes on the clock. Simple ball from Matty Parcell. Vette goes over. He's becoming a bit of a player, isn't he? I mean, we've had his doubts. There was all the doubts at the beginning of the season. We still think we'd like to see more minutes out of him. But at the moment, Rovers are a much better threat and much better on the pitch when Albert Vette and George King are starting, especially.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think Albert Vette, he's played his way back into fitness and back into the team, hasn't he? You know, fans were sceptical of him. I think people got on his back way too early. People were saying he's not fit. He's only over here for the money. You know, people were talking about sending him back so we could free up a quota spot, all this kind of thing. And it was like, whoa. We've still got a long, long way to go yet. And now I think Albert Vette is... you know, he's a real shining light in that forward pack. And that try was, you know, everything he's about, you know, powerful, strong. But what's really impressed me about Vette is the amount of minutes he's playing and the energy levels within them minutes. And you know, he's going to be a handful for anyone. He really is. And he really seems to have got the bit between his teeth, doesn't he? And you know, I've seen he's tweeted, you know, he's excited for the derby, etc. These players, Albert Vette, Corbin Sims, Takarangi, you know, they're going to be bang up for Saturday. And you know what? I thought we saw a glimpse of that in the Wigan game because we talked in the last podcast about they've got no fear. They're not afraid of the names like Wigan, St. Helens. They go out and play their game and represent all Kingston Rovers. And to be honest, mate, they don't give a toss about anybody else. And it's refreshing.
Do you think the fans has played a bit, the fans coming back for Takarangi and Vette? Because all you see is them, especially in Corbin Sims. Craven Park was rocking, fans were immense. I think at first it must have been tough because they've heard so much about the roar from the East End, the crowds in Super League. First, what was it, 2 months was played behind closed doors? And now that the fans are coming back, you're seeing the best out of, especially Albert Vette. You know, every try, every tackle, he's giving it big to the fans. He takes a bit of stick and he takes it in his stride, doesn't he? Especially last week, pulling his top up against the Lee fans. I think the fans coming back has benefited that pack at Rovers, mate. I don't know about you.
I mean, to be honest, mate, when you're playing in an empty stadium, although you've got, you know, you've got 26 blokes out on the pitch and you've got, you know, you've got the support staff around you and all that. But if you're playing in an empty stadium, it's quite soulless. And I can imagine being quite a lonely place because you don't have that enthusiasm. You don't have that roar of when you've done something well. You don't get that gratitude because you've got no one there to cheer you on. You've only got what your team can generate. And I do think it's had a massive impact, especially people like Vette, Takarangi, Corbin Sims, who have come over from Australia to play for us. You know, they've not only had to play in empty crowd stadiums, they've also had to deal with COVID, lockdowns, you know, having to isolate, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And I think now they're probably a lot more comfortable in the home life. They're a lot more comfortable on the pitch. And I definitely think it's to do with fans being back in the stadium and life going back to normal as well.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And, you know, obviously Rovers were 6-0 up at that point. And we have got a few topics to discuss. So we'll go into one with these next two tries because a man who we are going to speak about was at the focal point for both of them. That second try, lovely ball from George King to Takarangi. He did a bit of a floating ball, missed a few players out. Ethan Ryan on the wing, cuts inside. Bit of a American football Hail Mary, but he goes into the hands of Ben Crooks, who feeds Rowan Milnes. Rovers are then 12-0 up, mate, after 11 minutes. Fantastic start. And then the probably the try of the game, in my opinion, just from the way he took it after his injury. I know we'll speak about the second half and that fantastic try from Jez, but what it meant to the guy, Ethan Ryan, a kick from his former Bradford teammate, Rowan Milnes. He takes on Liam Marshall, a winger, and he goes over in the corner. The news came out of the club the other day that Ethan Ryan's out for the season. Rovers were 18-0 up at that point, by the way, mate, and we're going to move on to Ethan Ryan as well. Old Kingston Rovers have confirmed that Ethan Ryan will miss the rest of the season after suffering a fractured scaphoid in his win over Wigan Warriors. It's the other wrist. He's obviously been out for 3 months with his wrist. It's his other one. You text me, didn't you? We hope this stuff don't carry on because it can be career ending or career suffering. What a fantastic start by Old Kingston Rovers. Great to see Ethan Ryan back, but we're only going to see another 80 minutes out of him, mate. How disappointed are you that Ethan, a great young lad, signed a 2-year deal, loves it at Old Kingston Rovers. He seems to be in taking Super League in his stride. Obviously had big raps from the Championship. He's out for the season, mate. How much of a blow is that now? Now we're missing the likes of Quinlan, Hadley, Abdul's still gone, Minchella. These, our injury list moving up in it, and now Ethan Ryan's out. I'm devastated because I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, consider he's got the same injury on the opposite wrist.
Never heard of.
You couldn't make it up, could you? And like you said, mate, you know, he scored that try, picked Lee Marshall's pocket, you know, made it look easy, didn't he? It was almost effortless how he scored that. And I think we saw when Ethan Ryan burst into the team at the start of the season, you know, we've got a real player there. And it's disappointing that he's going to be missing for, well, I think out for the season now, isn't he? So, you know, especially at a time, if we're honest, when we need him, you know, we need him in the team because we're losing people, you know, we're getting injuries every game. And Ethan Ryan, we saw that quick burn of pace, didn't we, for Rowan Milnes' try where he burst down the line. One thing what teams can't cope with in Super League, mate, is pace. And Ethan Ryan's got an abundance of it. We saw it, how he dug us out against Huddersfield when he made that last gasp tackle right at the end of the game to Huddersfield. And, you know, he's been in that team not because he's replacing somebody who's injured. He's been in that team because he deserves to be. And it's devastating news to hear that he's out, mate, because you really saw against Wigan what he can do. And, you know, let's be honest, we're looking at that right edge again to see, you know, another combination who's going to end up playing there.
I feel like, obviously, we know how good our left side is, and we're going to mention, obviously, Lynette's try and how fantastic Kenny Dowell's being, Ryan Hall. We're missing that raw pace, aren't we, in this team still? I feel like we're signing people who've got a bit of pace about them, the likes of Sam Wood. PLT is obviously rapid. We've seen some videos of him. But I still think without the likes of Adam Quinlan and now Ethan Ryan, you are missing that person who can maybe intercept and go 100 metres. I know that's not a massive, massive part of the game that happens often. But on that off-the-cuff chance, you look at the likes of, I don't know, like a Regan Grace or something like that. There's no one ever stopping him. And I feel like now Ethan Ryan's gone crooks and mimicking. The fast, yeah, the quick, you know, we won't catch him in a race, but they're not that lightning raw speed, are they? And I feel like that could come back to haunt Rovers, especially in some games. But it's so disappointing again, mate, that right-hand side is going to be chopping and changing, and we'll move on to that when we speak about the derby. 16-0 up, fantastic. We know we won the game. We know what happened in the second half, but them 10 minutes conceding 3 tries. Tony Smith weren't happy about it. Kenny Dowell, the captain, weren't happy about it. And I want in the stands, mate. As brilliant as that win was, we've got to stop teams coming back into it, because Rovers had a few chances to make it 22-28 if they'd have converted them 2 tries. That was knock-ons and then the obstruction. Rovers have just got to calm it down a bit, because when that one try went in, then the 2 followed straight after, didn't they? And I'm hoping we've been brilliant in the second half, nil in Wigan, but them 10 minutes, bit of panic stations. But it could have gone either way, mate, couldn't it? We could have crumbled in that second half, but we didn't. But when they scored them 3 back-to-back tries, I was like, oh no, not again.
No, and it's been our Achilles heel all season, hasn't it? Our ability to concede points, but not only concede points back-to-back and concede points quickly. And you know, I'm not being funny, mate. When we went 3-0 up, 3 tries up, you know, after 17 minutes, back of your mind, you're still thinking there's a long way to go, yeah. You know, and especially playing a team like Wigan. And we saw what Wigan can do. Unfortunately, though, it was on the back of a Ben Crook's mistake, wasn't it? You know, he failed to gather the high ball. Obviously, he was under pressure. And Wigan go in for a simple try with Marshall scoring. And then, to be fair, mate, it was also at the same time when Kenny Dowell limped off as well. So there was a bit of a double blow that time.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And Rovers still went in with the lead 16-14. And that second half, first 5-10 minutes, it was a bit of a slow start, wasn't it? Didn't really know what was happening at the minute. Weren't putting many moves on. There were still the things about Kenny Dowell, would he come back on, all that, you know, all that business. But Rovers got back into the game, didn't they? Little shift play on the left from Rowan Mills. We'll speak about his contract soon. Rovers, at first, Minikin could have scored and Takarangi could have scored, and I was stood right in front of it. And obviously, it went back to one, and I was like, come on, just compose yourself. But Rovers, Takarangi was looking at himself thinking, why didn't I just go over there?
He could have just reached over and literally just put the ball
I'm watching it now, mate. It was literally, it wasn't even a meter away. He could have literally just stretched over. But luckily, the ball went into the experienced Ryan Hall. He did a few side steps, shimmied past Kai Pierce-Paul and Harry Smith. Give it to the big red machine, Kane Lynette, who dives over for, what's that, try number 9-10 as a second row. Kane Lynette up there in our top three players, mate. Fantastic. He shoots past the Wigan defence. Big salute, taps his badge, puts his arm up to the North Stand. What a player he's been for all Kingston Rovers, especially in 2021. Great bit of play from Takarangi to give it back out. Great bit of play from Ryan Hall. Kane Lynette goes over, mate. Fantastic try from the Robins. That's what we're capable of.
Yeah, and I think that encapsulated everything that Rovers are about, doesn't it? You know, we're nearly going at one end, one side of the pitch, you know, and then we're still able to keep the ball alive and take it right over to the other edge. And then we saw the pace and power of Kane Lynette, who I think is one of the best second rows in Super League.
Yeah.
And I don't care. Yes, I am biased, but this is the old Kingston Rovers Red Robin podcast. So, yeah, I am totally biased, and I do think he's one of the best second rows in Super League. And what a try from him, because he's... It's not the first time he's done it this season, but he seems to be enjoying his rugby league, doesn't he, at the moment? And we've talked about that left edge, how strong it is. And like I said, that try just encapsulated everything that we've been about, especially on that left edge. But he still had a lot of work to do, didn't he? He had a few metres to make to get over that line.
He did, mate. And like I said, he's playing in the second row now. His first two seasons, you know, he was named at number four. He played predominantly in the centre, only a few games at second row, and struggled because of the people around him. You know, he couldn't create a combination. We was chopping and changing in the halfbacks, the wingers, the second rows. Now he's cemented with Ryan Hall, Kenny Dowell. Obviously, we know that Abdul's played a few games there. Milnes has played a few games there. But he's playing his best rugby now, and I think it's down to that left-hand side because, you know, they're all 32, 33 and 34, I believe. Oh, no, two 33-year-olds and a 32-year-old. But they're playing like they're in the prime, 22, 23 at the minute. They're playing like they did when they was at the Cairn Roosters, Leeds and the Cowboys, respectively. Ryan Hall, Kenny Dowell, Kane Lynette, absolutely fantastic. 2014 up, mate. We get the kickoff. One of the best tries I've seen Rovers do, just because obviously I know there was a shift in the play and it was the second tackle. Let's talk it from the start. The gate kicks off. Rowan Milnes catches it. George King runs it in. I was sitting back down, actually. I was I just popped for a wee.
Are you for a pie again?
No, mate. I couldn't get one. There was no chicken and chicken left, so I'm not having steak and ale. Can't drink and drive, mate. I'm not having steak and ale. So giving it to George King, who I think's been fantastic again. He cuts a ball out, misses Jez Litton and gives it to Matty Staunton, who turns into Usain Bolt, runs 40 metres, eventually gets tackled by Oliver Gildart. Matt Parcells shifts it to Jez Litton, feeds it to Greg Minikin, who's playing his best rugby. He steps Liam Farrell, Jackson Hastings, inside to Jez Litton, whose mum and dad was in front of me, who was hugging and crying when he went over. It was brilliant to see. He only came on after about, you know, 5 minutes prior to that, changed the game with his speed with Matt Parcells. Them two worked brilliantly together on the pitch, mate. Jez goes over. That was the game done and dusted. Back-to-back tries. Rovers were on fire. Craven Park was rocking. What a try.
Yeah, exactly, mate. And it was... do you know what? We just said, you know, the previous try was the best of all Kingston Rovers. Well, you know, this one, how many times have we seen where a prop has made a pass like that and we've just turned the ball over and the opposition have gone in and scored a try?
It was obviously a set move, mate.
It was, wasn't it? Because you could see the intention from King when he made that pass. And then started. I mean, considering he's a frontline forward, the pace on him, you know, no one could get near him for a good 20, 25, 30 metres. So it was outstanding pace. And I think special mention to Greg Minikin. And I want to make a point about Minikin. He's been much maligned this season, I think, and people aren't really giving him the dues that he deserves. And he's probably not been made, you know, had his best performances. But these last three games, he's really coming to his own. We've seen him in, you know, I think his defence has improved, and we've seen offloads. We saw for the very first try when Rowan Milnes went in, that break from Ethan Ryan came from a Greg Minikin handoff. And I feel a lot more confident with Minikin on that right edge now. And you know, we're going to talk about the derby, but I like to see him cement that centre role and not move him out to the wing, because I think he's really growing there and really developing.
It was rumoured, wasn't it? And we've spoke to James O'Brien a lot. You know, we'll get him on the show again soon. It's been a busy time, hasn't it, for both us and James. But it was kind of like, not a done deal, but that it was, Minikin was going back to Cass. And now it seems like, and James on the old Daily Mail put the other week, that he's fighting for a contract. He wants to stay at Rovers. So I don't know what's happened there, because normally when it announced that Minikin's heading back to Cass, normally it happens, doesn't it, on the Rovers or the League Weekly, which it was on, saying he could be heading back to Castleford. At the minute, mate, it's always that cliche, isn't it? Either just playing for a contract and does the form drop. But at the minute, Rovers and Minikin especially are playing really well. Him and Crooks are out of contract. What, in your opinion, what happens there? I think if you can, you keep both of them, because you haven't got loads and loads of numbers. Jimmy Carnos will be leaving the club, probably won't. You can't imagine Jimmy staying. You've got a few young lads who I think should go out next year, the likes of Will Tate. I don't like to see them go back on loan. Sam Wood's going to be coming in. He's a utility back. You've still got Kenny Dowell, Ryan Hall. And if you get Crooks and Minikin, you've still got that, you know, numbers in the back line. I think if it's a 1 or 2 year deal, they're both, what, 27, 28, aren't they, nearly heading into the 30s? So I'd like to see them both stay, mate. Can you see it happening at the moment? I don't know. There's not been nothing rumoured, has there?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the debate, doesn't it? It's one or the other. But
one or the other, yeah. And
who knows what the thinking is at the moment, because I think one thing that the club is aiming for is continuity, isn't it? And we don't expect to see, much business done in the winter, in the close season. So looking to get the business done early. And who knows? I mean, what would say is the right edge was very problematic at the start of the season, wasn't it? And we're seeing a lot of tries scored down that right edge. Obviously, you know, the aim was to have Minikin and Crooks as that partnership, and it's worked for some games, other games it hasn't. Do we persevere down that route? Some people are questioning whether Minikin's performance has improved because he's on the lookout for a new contract. Maybe the early interest he's had from other clubs hasn't come to fruition, and now he's searching around thinking, well, where am I going to go? You know, maybe that's been a bit disrespectful to him, but at the end of the day, mate, he's starting to do the business for Rovers. So it's whether Rovers and Tony Smith see the worth in him for next season. And it's also, well, if he isn't going to line up for his next season, who's going to be his replacement? And, you know, you start having to look at the bigger picture, don't you, about where players are going to move around. So it's not necessarily just about Greg Minikin and Ben Crooks. It's about, you know, the other players in the squad. So I think for me, mate, the jury's still out on both of them. I think the jury's still out. And it'd be interesting to see how we finish to the season, to see what happens. But for me, the jury's still out on them.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned James, don't we? And obviously, he's not affiliated with the club. He doesn't work for the club, so he does give us a bit of an insight, doesn't he? It's great to have him on. And we did mention, we spoke to him, didn't we, about, and I messaged him saying it'd be if, you know, we're getting Crooks or Minikin, what's that? And he said, no, I haven't heard anything, mate, not that I'm aware of, but he is expecting a few of the 2022 batch to get new deals first, which takes us on to our next talking point. So before that, obviously, we've got about 12, 13 out of contract for next year. He'd done a little article about that. Check that out, guys. You can see he was out of contracts for the next 4 or 5 years, because remember, the likes of Jez, and they'll all be playing till the end of 2025. So I'm sure there'll be contract extensions in the next few weeks, and we've had two in the past 7 days, mate. We will start first with Rowan Milnes. That was announced first, wasn't it? So the young halfback from Bradford, who's setting Super League alight at the moment, bit of a steady head, bit of a Campese type of a player, isn't he? Like, well, I want him to partner up with Abdul. Hopefully he plays more games with him that can cement together, because Hulkingston Rovers are delighted to announce Rowan Milnes has signed a new three-year extension with the club, keeping it at Hull College Craven Park until the end of 2025. He made his debut against Catalan last year and has made 10 appearances, including 7 this year, scoring his first Super League try against the Lee Centurions. He's a really good passer, isn't he, mate? He's not the quickest, but he kind of gets behind the defence. He can squeeze through them. He came over with the likes of Minchella, Staunton, who we'll speak about in a moment. I'm glad Rowan Milnes has stayed, mate. We've still got Mikey for another 2 years, Abdul for another 4 years, and now Rowan Milnes for another 3 years. So that halfback combinations, they're kind of cemented, aren't they? And that's great, because they're all young kids. They're all local lads, 2 from Hull, 1 from Bradford. And Rowan Milnes, you know, but at the first, it was kind of no one had ever heard of him. He hadn't played many games for the Bulls first team, same as Staunton. And he's playing really well, mate. He's never going to set the world alight, but some of the balls he does and some of his lead organisation skills on that left-hand side have been fantastic.
Yeah, mate. And do you know what? Against Wigan, I thought he was our unsung hero. I really thought it was.
You put it.
He held us together. I think he was a real constant for the side, and he was reliable. He was dependent. I think, did he come away with 3 assists? Was it 3 assists he got? So he people question whether he's creative enough, don't they? And that's why you get the compare Milnes to Mikey Lewis, because obviously we see the flair of Mikey, and we see his ability to run with the ball and his unpredictability, and people then pigeonhole Milnes as to being a bit, maybe a bit boring, a bit one dimensional, but I think what we've seen is, with him getting a run of games in the team, we've seen him really growing to his position, and for me, he's my, with Abdul being missing, obviously, he's my first choice halfback at the moment, because I just really think the team needs someone like that to keep us ticking over, especially when you've got players like Takarangi floating around. Tony Smith's almost give Takarangi a free role to you know, go left or right. We've seen Takarangi swap positions, etc. So I think we need someone like Milnes in there. And what's impressed me about is his kicking game. He seems to be able to, like we saw with the Ethan Ryan try, he's able to put a good kick up, but he's a bit clever as well. He knows when to buy his time, and he's not afraid to kick the ball into touch if needs be. And he seems to be able to read the game and analyse it within the game, which is a real hard skill. So I'm delighted we've tied him down for a bit longer, mate. And, I think he's going to get a good run of games in the team, especially towards the end of the season now.
Definitely, mate. And only 21, so he's got plenty of rugby league ahead of him. And so is this guy, another 21-year-old. A prop forward, second row, does all the hard work. We mentioned it turning to Usain Bolt last week against the Wigan Warriors. And of course, I am talking about Matty Staunton. And the Hulkingston Rovers are excited to announce Matty Staunton has signed a new 2-year contract extension, keeping the versatile forward at Hull College Craven Park until the end of 2024. Sorry, he's just turned 22, mate. So he'll be getting his pension sooner rather than later. He's a really important part of Rovers' pack now, mate, in my opinion. He could play anywhere you want. I think he'd only played, similar to Rowan Milnes, when we signed the Favre from Bradford. Obviously, I know they was going through trouble at the time, but he wasn't playing loads and loads for the Bulls. I think he was in and out of the squad. And apart from Minchella, when they all moved over, you'd never heard of any of them. And I was spectacle. I really was. And especially Matty Staunton, I think he's been brilliant. He played last year his debut against Wakey on opening day. And he's gone really well, you know. He's played 22 games for us now. He's only 22. He's a forward. He can play big minutes. He's tough as you come. He does all the hard work, and Staunton's going to be here for the next 3 years. Obviously, he was already contracted, so it is a 2-year extension, but he was running out next year, so it is just added on. So he's still got 3 years now instead of just another season. So 3.5 years of Matty Staunton, mate. Really good that we're keeping the young lads tied down. We're building a really exciting team around young homegrown talents, not just in the back line and the halfbacks, mate, but in the forwards, which is what you need.
Yeah, and it's just, I think it's a small good business by the club, isn't it? And Matty Staunton's really shown his value to the side, hasn't he, by his consistency. And, you know, there's longevity in him. You know, you can see him sticking around at the club for a number of years now. And especially when, on the back of losing George Lawler to Castleford, and I know fans are demanding a U-turn, but I think that deal is signed.
Yeah, you can't change that.
So I think he's definitely leaving. So, you know, people are looking outside the club to replace Lawler. Well, actually, have we got the replacement there? Is Matty Staunton the natural replacement for George Lawler? because we're bringing in, you know, a few players from the Championship. I expect them to be featuring around the first team. So I think you might see Staunton promoted to that first choice prop. You know, playing alongside King, playing alongside Vetter, playing alongside Sims, and he's earned that role, and he's definitely earned the contract for me, because he's been thoroughly consistent, and I think sometimes with players, and they get criticised, don't they, by going unnoticed, and people say, well, what do they do? And actually, sometimes the best players do go unnoticed, because they get about the business quietly, they do what they need to do, they do the job for the team, they do the job for the coach, and I think we've really seen that at Mighty Staunton this season.
So, yeah, guys, that is the news that Rowan Milnes and Matty Staunton will be staying at the Robins till the end of 2024. That's Matty Staunton, and Rowan Milnes will be there for another year till 2025. Let's hope we can see them in the red and white in Eastall for the foreseeable future, because they're doing really well at the moment, mate. Before we move on to the Tipping League, mate, to finish off, as we always do, we've got a game on Saturday against our nearest and dearest, and that's the nicest thing we'll call them. And for the rest of the podcast, mate, it's Derby Day again. It's coming up. The last Derby we went to was the one last February. So it's been nearly a year and a half, 18 months since the last one with fans. I'll admit it. We're filming this. It's Wednesday, 3 o'clock. I'm nervous. As much as you want to stay professional, you don't want to get involved in it early doors, because if you lose, you look a fool. We can't stand them. They can't stand us, you know. I fucking hate them. Pardon my language, and I know you do as well. And
no, your mum will be listening to this as well, Joe.
Hey, she's a lot worse than me. She's
worse than you,
mate. Honestly, where do you think I get it from? It's not my dad, it's my mum. but no, mate, it's, you know what it is. It's Eastall against Westall, red and white against black and white. There's over 4,000 Robins. We've sold out our North Stand. They can't sell out the West Stand, so they've closed it because the fans don't want to go. I'm hoping the Red Army will make loads of noise. We'll be in town early doors. The atmosphere is going to be electric. The derbies are great if you win, horrible if you lose. What's going to happen on Saturday, mate? You can never call it. There's injuries on both sides, people coming back on both teams. Until the teams are announced, mate, it doesn't matter who you put out, who represents each team. It's whoever wants it most, mate. We've won derbies in the past when we've been underdogs. We've won them when we've been favourites, and we've also lost when we've been underdogs and lost when we've been favourites. For you, mate, before we get Scott Morell on and speak to him, what does the derby mean to you? Because it means a lot to me personally. I always want to get away from that. And I feel like we are doing now, where the past few years, yeah, you beat Hull twice, but you finished 10th, 11th, and that's all that matters. It's not, it's huge, but it's not everything. This is another step to cementing our place in the playoffs. We go, we treat it as any other game. It's obviously the derby, there's more bragging rights at stake. But the way Rovers are playing, what you mentioned earlier, we don't fear nobody. We don't fear them on Saturday. We go and we give them a bastard for 80 minutes.
Yeah, and do you know what? The reason why the derby is so important is because families are split. You work with people who support LSC. Your friends might be black and white supporters. It's so much more than just the rugby game. It's the week after. It's the week before. It's the banter. It's being able to go to work with your head held up high, or it's having to sneak in looking at your boots because you've been on the end of an hiding. It's about being able to walk around the city with your shirt on and knowing that you're superior because we've got the victory. It's about making sure that we are the best team in the city because we win the games. We know we're the best supporters. We're classier supporters. We're more enthusiastic supporters. We rally around the team when it's required. You know, them lot, they ain't got a patch on us. And that is why this derby is so important. Not this one on Saturday, but the derby as a whole. And this one's even more important, though, on Saturday, bigger than it normally would be, is because the 2 points are so important, mate. The 2 points are going to put us into the playoffs. If they lose and St. Helens win, they could drop down to 8th place. They could be at risk of reaching the playoffs. So we've got a bigger mission than just winning the derby. We've got a job to do to keep us in them playoff spaces, mate, because, you know, I'd love it if we finished in there in them playoffs and they didn't. So I'm buzzing, mate. It means a lot to me. Like you said, we've got, you know, I have to turn my phone off at sometimes looking at social media because I just get wound up by some of the shit that the black and whites put on there. It's unbelievable sometimes. But no, I'm absolutely buzzing for Saturday, mate. And you know, we're nervous, aren't we? But we're nervous because it means more than just bragging rights. It actually means 2 points for us if we win.
A bit of a Kevin Keegan moment from you there, wasn't it? I'd love it if we beat them. But
oh, mate, I can't. I literally, I'm dreading Sunday. Not Saturday, Sunday. Because if we lose, I'm going to be in a right mood.
Yeah,
I'm dreading being in a mood. And
it could be the last ever podcast, mate, if we lose now.
I tell you what, mate, if these black and whites listening to this and they're laughing their heads off thinking what they're going on about, well, fucking, what a waste of your life you've got if you're listening to a red and white through and through podcast, fucking more for you. But I don't mind if people say, you know, it's your cup final and stuff like that. Do you know what it is? It is a cup final. And I don't mean that in the sense of,
of course it is.
Our biggest game. But it's our biggest game of the season because it means so much. And people who don't have natural rivals, you know, we support Hull City. And we were talking about it, weren't we? Who's our rivalry with? Well, our rivalry is one way. We have a rivalry with teams like Leeds, Sheffield United, you know, sometimes Grimsby, Scunthorpe. It's not reciprocated. They don't have the rivalry with us. This is a pure hatred, pure intense derby, which is felt throughout the city. Even people who are interested in rugby league know about the derby. They know about how important it is. And this is why, mate, I just want to get in that ground. I don't care how we win. I don't give a toss if it's a dodgy referee decision. I don't give a toss if we blow them away 50-0. All we need is that win. Job done. That's all I'm bothered about.
You know what, mate? I've tried all week, haven't we? And we text each other, we've been trying not to get involved in it. But when you're doing the podcast, you can't help it, can you? It doesn't mean so much. And do you know what annoys me? Like, I mean, I'll be getting bus into town early doors, all in the usual pubs, Admiral, then Tiger's Lair. The atmosphere will be electric. It's what I've done for years, me and my mates. We love doing it. The atmosphere is fantastic. I hate seeing them in the shirts. If there's someone in a Rover shirt walking down Oldness Road, you go on, kid, when you're driving by. If I see an old man, I mean, knobhead. And that's how childish you are. And I turn into a child. I know loads of people do, but it means so much, doesn't it? And I hope them players on Saturday, and I think they will because they're doing it at the moment, and this game's bigger than all of them so far, will know what it means. And when them 4,500 Rovers fans cheer them on as they walk out and the old fans start booing and Babar O'Reilly plays and their music as it always does, I'm hoping that is the lift we need, because not just for the derby, for the season in a whole, because to quote me if I'm wrong, mate, if we win in Saints beat Wigan, do we go fourth?
I think so, mate. Yeah, I think we go fourth and then they go eighth.
They'd go eighth. Yeah. So it's massive. It's massive, isn't it? It's more for us at the moment. They need to win. They need to win to keep their playoff place alive. I know we do as well. We're still a long way from that.
Looking at it, Joe, I think this is where Tony Smith, Danny Maguire, Sean Kennedy-Dell, this is where they've got a real job to play, because obviously we've seen players like Vette, you know, Corbin Sims, obviously he's a bit of a lunatic. You know, they're going to be absolutely buzzing out there for this game. The skill is to keep a lid on it to a certain extent, isn't it? And control that passion, control that aggression, so that it doesn't result in daft penalties, it doesn't result in sin bins, it doesn't result in red cards. Because if we play with that controlled aggression, and I thoroughly think we can, because I think we're much better and we've got a much better coach who understands psychology. You know, Tony Smith was working for the Premier League a few years ago, delivering courses about psychology. He understands the mentality of players. He understands the mentality of big games. But if we can keep a lid on it, mate, and this is why I think they've got a big job to do, I really think that we can do a job on them.
How big is discipline? Because, you know, when we're recording this, it's Wednesday, so there's no official team news yet. There's a few rumours going through the old Marvin Gaye grapevine that obviously Jake Connor, the wind-up merchant, he's going to be back playing. At the minute, I don't think Chicken Satay's making it at the moment. I am hearing that.
Hey, just why you mentioned Jake the Snake, or Jake the Prick, as I like to refer him as, how come he got all this attention on Sky about him signing a new contract?
Oh, it winds me up.
Why him? I don't understand it.
He's done now.
Exactly. Yeah, he was splashed across Sky Sports News. It was all over social media. Not just local media and the club. This was on Sky. They made a big thing of him signing a new contract. I haven't seen that for anybody else signing a contract this season.
I think it's just because he pushes people, and then when they start on him, he backs away and lets his big mates try and get involved. I think they see him as see him as a bit of a wind-up merchant. But that is the thing, mate. The likes of him, Joe Cater, Savelio, you know, on the pitch, you know, they're arseholes, aren't they? That's what they're there. That is their job, and they play that way to get reactions out of people. Look at them when they played Huddersfield. Josh Jones, when he started swinging, former black and white, started on Savelio, got a two-match ban. For the likes of Corbin Sims, the old fans are going to get on his back. They're going to get on Vettey's back. It's going to be a hostile environment from both teams. I think it is discipline the key from winning and losing? Because I'm begging and I'm hoping that people don't lose their heads early doors, because we don't need anyone getting sent off, or they don't need anyone getting sent off early doors, because that could change the course of the game. I'm hoping Corbin especially, we saw him what happened at Lee, him and Vettey, they used it in the right way, but on derbies that could be different. Discipline's huge Saturday, mate, isn't it, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and obviously we've seen the match.
Smash him, make him knock on, push the face, but don't start swinging, because you know nowadays in 2021, you even put a finger on someone and in a punching motion, you're getting 10 minutes.
Yeah, we've seen, haven't we, from the match officials this season that they don't like a lot of contact, do they? They don't like people messing about in the ruck. They definitely don't like people taking the law into their own hands. We saw that with Matty Parcells sin-binning at the end of the Wigan game. So the players have got to be really careful, because I think we've got Liam Moore, haven't we, who referee. I thought very well refereed the Wigan game.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. We haven't spoke about him, mate.
No, and that's it. And you know, obviously he'll understand it's a derby, but also we've got to appreciate as supporters and the players that he's got a job to do. You know, he's not there to let things go. He's there to officiate the game as he sees it. So the last thing we need to do is then play into his hands and start giving him an opportunity to give penalties, give yellow cards, give red cards, to give him, because, you know, if he sees it, he's going to give it. So it's going to be massive, mate. It's going to be really important to the game that we keep our heads and hopefully the passion from the fans that we create, you know, the noise, the atmosphere, because obviously they don't create no atmosphere. It only comes from one end of the stadium.
The beginning of the game.
Yeah, and then they're sat on their hands for the rest of it. And then, you know, most of them don't get to see the full game anyway, because most of them left after 15 minutes or so. I think if we can put that passion into the players, but the player with controlled aggression, I think we'll be all right. But there's going to be, obviously, like there is every derby week, mate, we've got injuries potentially going into the game. There's rumours of players coming back. Obviously, Sean Kenny-Dowell put in a heroic performance against Wigan, a real captain's knock, wasn't it? You know, I feared the worst when he went off, obviously carried off, didn't look like he could walk, came back on in the second half, made some real strong runs. He's now a doubt for the Wigan game, with Tony Smith commenting that he's 50-50. They're going to have to manage him to the end of the season because of his injury to his foot. He played, obviously, the Wigan game on painkillers the second half. And now it looks like they're going to run it right down to the warm-up to see whether he gets out on the pitch. And obviously, losing Kenny-Dowell, Joe, is going to be a massive loss if he doesn't line up on Saturday.
I think it is, mate, and it's hard, isn't it? He's probably going to be naming in the squad. Like I said, the squad will be announced Thursday, which is tomorrow from this recording, mate. And probably, you know, we're going to go together, aren't we? And we're going to have a few partners, watch it, discuss who's going to be playing. And until 1:30, 2 o'clock, whenever they announce it, like it always is, we don't know who's going to be playing. I agree with you, Kenny-Dowell might come down to the wire. You never know if he's going to get jabbed up. I am expecting him to play because of the type of guy he is. He don't want to be missing this game. And he says he's 50-50. When he got injected, he couldn't feel it. But obviously now it's a bit of a tear. So it's one of them, isn't it? You've got everyone's hit and miss. But whoever represents all, whoever represents Rovers, they know what it means. Once the atmosphere hits them in the warm-up, the singing, the music, everything about it, it's back. The old derby's back. It's great to be there. It's going to be a great spectacle, mate, for the city. And let's hope the East Side are we're celebrating, because it'll be massive. But if we win, go fourth, maybe possibility. We haven't been fourth since, what, 2000 and God knows, mate, 2009, 10. I can't remember the last time we was fourth. So it's a massive thing we need to forget about. It's a derby game, especially the players. Sing loud and proud, the 4,500 who are going to be going to head over there. You know, let's give the boys the right backing and let's stay behind them for 80 minutes because we need this, mate. I'm excited, mate, now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Like I said, that excitement's always with an air of trepidation as well, isn't it? Especially, like we said, when you start getting injuries. And where do you see us lining up? If Kenny-Dowell don't play, obviously Ethan Ryan won't be featuring. Is it a case of just slotting someone in at centre and then slotting someone in the wing? Or are you changing players in the middle, such as Takarangi? You're bringing Crooks back into the wing and changing the fullback? Because if you start doing that, you're looking at wholesale changes across the side, aren't you?
I think if Kenny Dow doesn't play, you might be looking at something like, Crooks, Minikin, Takarangi, Carnos, Hall, Milnes, Lewis as you start in seven, maybe. But then obviously if it's SKD, you could have him back in there. And I'd personally, it depends, because I think Milnes deserves to keep his place. Will Kenny Dow just replace, you know, in that lineup what I've just named, Carnos, and have Milnes and Lewis, or will you play Takarangi and put that way? I think because of Ethan Ryan now, it's gonna be Crooks, Minikin, Takarangi, and then either Sean Kenny Dowell or Jimmy Carnos, Ryan Hall, Rowan Milnes and Mikey Lewis. That's my starting seven, mate. And obviously we know what the forward line's probably going to be. That's not going to change. What about you?
Yeah, I think for me, Carnos, you know, comes into contention. You know, a big game player. He's played a number of games, hasn't he? He's recently been out on Castleford for a couple of weeks. Obviously he scored that try against that lot, didn't he? Which will be forever etched in our memories. And that's the point with this game, isn't it? You know, someone can become a folklore hero, can't they, by just one play? And can I still be forever written into OKR's history for that try he scored?
Yes.
But I think he'll definitely come into the side, especially if Kenny Dowell doesn't line up. I think we might see Mikey Lewis as well. Obviously, the debate is then, does Mikey Lewis go full back? Does Crooks go onto the wing? Do we then retain Takarangi and Milnes in the halfback? You know, every podcast recently we're talking about, we're trying to put people into positions and we don't have a clue, do we?
No.
We've seen George Lawler, Corbin Sims lining up at loose forward, which we never thought we'd see. Obviously, Albert Vette started at prop against Wigan. So we've got players all over the place playing in different positions, and that probably adds to a bit of the nervousness, isn't it? Because we can't 100% say who's going to be lining up. Throw into the mix as well, you know, Jordan Abdul shock return might be on the cards. Although normally you'd think if he is, you know, the fact he's been in pot, there'd be pictures of him training, or there'd be some. You can't see him risking him right to the captain's run and then going straight into the game.
No, we know Abdul's raring to go. He wants his pot off. He wants to be playing. He wants to play on Saturday. For me, mate, you've got to look at the season. You've got to look at the bigger picture. We're already men down. For me, you don't bring Abdul back. He was down for 4 or 5 weeks. This will have been 3 weeks. Do you know what I mean? We don't know what happens behind the scenes, but I wouldn't be happy if he got jabbed up. He plays this week and then he's out for another month. Do you know what I mean? We've got, even, you know, I don't want to say it, but if you lose Saturday, the season's not over. You're still in a playoff spot. You've still got 6, 7, whatever it may be, the games that we've got left. We're still fighting for a playoff spot, and Abdul is key, especially the back end of the season. If he plays, yeah, it'll be one of them. Won't it? Get in his back. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. But we've seen it so many times, especially in the derby, people get called back that haven't even been named in the 21-man squad or 19-man squad as it was a few years back and haven't performed. So for me at the moment, if he's not 100%, you don't play Jordan Abdul, mate. But yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Once the team's out tomorrow, I'm sure us and the fans will know more, and come Saturday afternoon, I'm sure there'll be rumours flying about at 10 o'clock in the morning. There'll be doubt, you know, Abdul's seen heading over there. He's been training, all this, all that. Always is with the derby, mate, but won't change it for the world, would we?
No, and that's why it's so unique, isn't it? That, you know, like we say, normally, we have to play second fiddle to St. Helens and Wigan, don't we? At least on Saturday, we've got we're the main stage at. We're on the main stage. Everybody's going to be focused on that derby. And like we've already said, it's more than just a derby. It's actually two teams in the playoffs, so we're going head-to-head for 2 points. So it's a huge game all around, and it's great that the eyes of the world are going to be on this. Because it's an entertaining game. If you're a neutral, it's probably one of the best games of rugby league you're going to get to watch, because it's always full of drama. If you're a supporter, it's nail-biting, because it ebbs and flows, it twists and turns. You never know how it's going to finish. And we've seen so many times before, it literally goes down to the last second, doesn't it? Every second really does count in this derby. So it's a monumental fixture, and the fact we haven't had it for so long makes it even more appealing and exciting. So I just want Saturday to come now.
Yes, so do I, mate. And we've just spoke to Scott Morelli. He's ready to come on now. We've got about 15, 20 minutes with him, guys. So we're going to hurry up, finish with our tipping league before we get Scott on, mate. So first game, Leeds against Huddersfield. I'm going to say Huddersfield.
I'm going to go on the back of a big victory for Leeds over Lee and a defeat against Salford for Huddersfield. I'm going to go for Leeds Rhinos.
Big derby. It's Warrington against Catalan. I'm going to say Catalan.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Rivals round. Well, to be fair, they are rivals in terms of league positions, aren't they? And Catalan have shown a little bit of indifference. Obviously, they beat the Black and Whites last time out. They lost to St Helens. But I think on Warrington's home patch, I'm going to go for a Wolves victory.
So that derby, the biggest derby apparently in the world, two teams that are 9 miles away via the A571. It's Wigan against St Helens, mate. Always a big game, isn't it? A good game. The second best derby in Super League. I'm going to say St Helens, mate. I think Wigan, obviously coming off a defeat to the Robins, I think Saints are too big, too strong at the moment.
Yeah, I just think Saints are a better team. And I think Wigan are inconsistent. And I can't see anything other than a St Helens victory.
Rovers against Old Course, we're going to go Rovers out. We're going to go smash them black and white.
Yeah, bastard. Yeah, 100%.
Cass Wakey, West Yorkshire derby. Cast of 16 in a row against Wakefield. That must hurt for Willie Poaching's men. They've got a new coach. They beat Warrington last week. I still think Cass have got enough to beat them, though.
Yeah, do you know what? I probably agreed with you then. And then you just told me 16 in a row. I should have done some homework, shouldn't I? So I'm going to say that an unpredictable Wakey side are going to go for and get the victory.
Oh, 2-2 then for Willie Poaching for you, mate. And then finally, on Sunday, Lee against Salford. Salford pick up the win. Lee will be 0-16.
Yeah, I'll go Salford as well.
Definitely, mate. Right, it's been great to speak to you. We're going to go off air for a minute or so, and then we're going to get Scott Morell on, a Rovers legend who knew what it was about to play and represent the red and whites on Derby Day. We're going to speak to him about his favourite memories, what it means, his opinion on all FC fans, and most importantly, our new signing, PLT. Stay with us, guys. That is part one of the Red Robin podcast Derby special. We'll be back in 30 seconds or so with Hulk Air legend, Scott Morell. Welcome back to part two of the Red Robin podcast. And me and Chris are delighted to announce that we've got special guest, Hulk AR legend and friend of the podcast, Scott Morell, back on the show. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm all right, lads. Thanks for having me again.
No worries.
Last time we were in lockdown, wasn't it? So, yeah, it's good to be back, mate.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's a bit brighter now, isn't it? Now we're speaking to you. We're a bit short for time, but aren't we? Everyone's got different things we've got to get off and do, so we'll keep it short and sweet. It's great to speak to you. First, me and Chris want to know, obviously, we've signed Phoenix Luali Tonga guy, or PLT as we'll call him. He's currently with you guys at the Cougars. Tell us a bit about Phoenix, because he's only 18, former rugby union lad, obviously his dad QLT's been around the block. What should we expect for him at Hull Kingston Rovers?
But yeah, he's a quality player, is Phoenix. I'll just put you up on that. He's actually a rugby league lad. Played rugby league all his life, and then he went to a school in Sheffield, and they played rugby union, and he was playing rugby union there and got picked up by Leicester Tigers Academy. And in lockdown, their season got cancelled, and Q just asked Reece if he could train with us, and then we couldn't touch him, so Reece asked Q if he fancied playing. So that's how it started, really. But yeah, he's a quality player. He's Phoenix. What to expect from him? He's fast. He's got good feet. He understands the game. He reads the game really well. He anticipates where the ball's going to be for offloads and things like that. So yeah, you've got a lot of work to do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's the finished article, but I think he's in a good place under Tony and Danny Maguire, and Odgy to excel.
Well, Scotty, what would you say is his greatest asset is at the moment?
He's willing to learn. He's just asking questions all the time. Obviously, me and his old man are getting on now, and he's just asking and picking our brains and wanting to learn and wanting to get better. And he's always out there first on training ground, practicing little stuff to help his game. So that's a good trait to have as a young kid. He knows he's got a lot of hard work in front of him, and he's willing to learn. And probably another thing is his feet. He's got good feet. I don't think I've seen first defender tackling, yeah, he always beats that first man and gets his nose through.
I think he needs to work on his interviewing skills as well, pal. I saw you taking the mick out of him on Instagram saying, you can tell he's a young pup.
I don't know how to take me. He keeps looking at his dad every time I take mick out of him.
Yeah, mate, but no, he seems a really good kid, and obviously he's at loan back with you guys at Keith for the rest of the season. Before we move on to the derby, mate, how's your season going and how are you finding it, obviously, moving after 8 or 9 years at Halifax?
Yeah, it's going well, obviously. It was a bit stop-start. We've been hit by COVID very hard. So some games we've played and we've only had 15. Next game we've played, we've had 4 wingers on bench. And so it's been a bit up-down season for us, but finally, we're in a little bit of form over the last couple of weeks, so hopefully we can take that into the playoffs at the end of the season and hopefully get the club promoted.
Yeah, it's great to hear, mate. And it's, like you said, we're delighted you've got us on. And obviously, it's derby week over here in Hull, and me and Joe are absolutely buzzing. You know, we're going into the game as, you know, not excited just about, you know, hopefully getting one over on them bin dippers, but actually getting the 2 points and keeping us in them playoff places. So it's a massive game. And obviously you've got massive experience of playing in them. Can you remember what it was like in the lead up to you, maybe your first derby, and as a player, what your emotions was in the build up to it?
Yeah, just when you're talking about derby, there's a bit of hairs on my back of my neck of standing up. It's just an unbelievable experience, really. My first one were a friendly. When I first come from Leeds, we played Hull FC when we were in Championship. That were at KC Stadium. That was my first taste of seeing the families divided and stuff like that. It were brilliant, really. Webby didn't play that game, so I played it on my own. I think we got beat, but one what sticks out in my mind is when we beat him at KC Stadium, I think it was 42-6 or something like that, and Reece Woodgrove running down wing, running over top of Sean Briscoe. It's forever stuck in my mind.
As a Leeds lad, mate, obviously it's totally different coming over and play it representing either red and white or black and white. But you, like we mentioned on the Heritage cast, like, so you, Ben Kane, you really bought into that the same as Newton did Galea. What is your thoughts on, especially playing at the KC, the black and whites, you know, for the past year, you know, when we first came into Super League, there was kind of like the top dogs, weren't we? And we started taking over them. For you, what does that derby represent and how was it representing Rovers? I know Craven Park's great, Magic Weekend, but I always think when we beat them on their ground or Hull City's ground, it's special, isn't it?
Yeah, it is special. Personally, Hull Kingston Rovers gave me my opportunity to play Super League. So I saw myself as a Hull lad because that's where I played the first team football. I really bought into it. I mean, you got people like Colin Dutton and Phil Lowe coming to speak to you in training rooms and Neil to tell you how much it means to them about pulling that red and white shirt on and facing the black and whites. It's unbelievable. And there's no better than getting one over on the black and whites in their own back garden.
Yeah, and I'm sure players like Albert Vetter, Brad Takarangi, Corbin Sims, Ryan Hall, they're going to be, you know, they've experienced big games, but I know one of the selling points probably for them coming over here and playing it is the derby and the being told about the rivalry, etc. What I wondered is, though, do you know when you play the games and obviously that, you know, you get your game plan and this is what you're going to do, how much of that goes out the window and how much just is then just played on like pure emotion and reacting to what happens in the game?
Yeah, I think obviously we're professional players, so you've still got to stick to your game plan. But there's that added spice in there, so the bragging rights around the city, and getting one over on black and whites. I think the team what they've got at the moment, I think it's a bit similar to what we had. They've got a good blend of English young kids what are hungry and want to die for this year, and then they've brought in some quality internationals in Sean Kennedy-Dow and Takarati and people like that. So it's a good mix of. Good mix of people, and they're all wanting the same thing. When watching them the other week, they're all wanting the same thing, and they wanted to get that win for Rovers.
Are you enjoying watching Rovers at the minute, mate? Because obviously for us, we're sitting in fifth. When we started doing the podcast, we just finished bottom. Obviously, Toronto wasn't in Super League last year, and we know what happened. And we've made this massive jump. You know, people are, Phil Clark saying we might get to the grand final stuff. It's stuff of dreams. We've never heard of it since the likes of your days. But from I know you're not a neutral. I don't mean a neutral in that. But from someone who's not in the city anymore, how is it watching Hull Kingston Rovers on the box? Because we're playing some really good stuff, similar to what you guys did in the early Super League years.
Yeah, the playing entertaining football. I don't get to see as many games as I'd like to, obviously, because I can't get over to Craven Park and stuff like that. But they're playing some quality football out there. Abdul has had a good season. He's been right up there for being. One what stood out for me is a cat, get away from his qualities. Ryan Hall, he's absolutely been unbelievable, hasn't he? Scoring so far. He's kept that form what he had at Leeds, and he's brought it over to Hull.
Yeah, he's been outstanding, hasn't he? And many people thought he was probably finished, didn't they? But actually, it's almost like he's had a new lease of life, doesn't he? And Tony Smith seems to be able to do that with players, doesn't he? He's, Tony Smith himself.
I think Tony brought Ryan through it at Leeds, so they'll have that special bond together as well. But Ryan's a professional player, and he trains hard every day, and he goes out there and he wants to win. So I'm not surprised of how he's played and how he's performed for all this year.
Yeah, I think the best one about Ryan Hall, me and Joe were at Castleford and someone kept shouting, "You fat bastard," to him. And then the next day he put that picture of him on eating pizza and he looked... I'll tell you what, if I was as fat as him, I'll tell you what, mate, I'd be...
Imagine what they'd have said to me and you, Scott.
I know. I think I've got all the covered, actually, with six-pack of
them. No, but looking back, I know you've mentioned your best derby, what you played in. When you played, Scotty, did you have any like real genuine rivalries with any of the old players? Like, was there anyone who you really just didn't get on with and you couldn't wait to see him on the pitch?
I didn't really get on with him, but me and Fitzgibbon had a couple of ding-dongs. Obviously, that one you posted on Twitter the other day where I got hit him with a shoulder barge and probably get red-carded for that nowadays. But,
I was going to say, you picked a big one there, didn't you, not to get on with?
I know, he's one of my heroes I was looking up to when I was a kid, and obviously getting to play against people like that, it's unbelievable, and just probably him, really.
Yeah, the one of the best hits ever in a derby, we're up there with McCarley's on Scott Weald, and we all real famous reaction, jumping in the air with your big Beetle moped haircut in 2008, wasn't it?
William had a fringe since then.
Yeah. But yeah, mate, obviously we've got a few more questions. Rovers, at the minute, we've sold out the North Stand 4,000. We're moving over to the East Stand because there's such a surplus for tickets and everything like that. How far does that Rovers crowd in that North Stand take you? Obviously, Andy, you mentioned your professionals, you've got this game plan. But for the likes of Kenny Dal Ryan or Takarangi, who have only played either one derby or none, it's the debut in a Rovers versus Hull game. How vital is that Red Army on Saturday for the Rovers players?
Yeah, I'm not just saying it, but it is like an extra player when they're singing the songs and they're getting right behind you and getting on the West Coast players' backs. It is like having another player out there with you. And hopefully the Red and White Army will be out in full force on Saturday and get behind them.
Yeah, just before we wrap up, Scotty, obviously before the Wigan game, we had the news that Neil Udgell's agreed to stay on at the club and he's not looking to sell the club anymore. Obviously, you know, you've got experience of being with Neil and I'm sure you've got many fond memories, but how important is it for the club and to have someone like Neil backing them because as supporters, I think we're indebted to him. If he weren't there, Old Kingston Rovers wouldn't be around anymore.
I don't think if he wouldn't have backed us in 2006 to get originally promoted to Super League, I said the club wouldn't have been there anyway, I don't think. So I'm forever indebted to him for giving me the opportunity. I think the fans are as well for how much he's invested of his time and his money into the club, and it's absolutely awesome to see him not leaving all the hard work what he's put in. Now the team's looking a little bit more successful, and let him enjoy it, like he certainly deserves it.
Yeah, there's a lot of money pumped in, mate, innit, and a lot of hard work, and it's great to see him and Paul Aiken back together. I think that's a massive point. And Danny Maguire and Tony Smith, a lot of ex-Leeds, you know, contingency there, especially with Tony and Danny. Do you think that's a massive impact? Because since Maguire became head of recruitment, Paul Aiken's come back and Tony Smith, they've all got that winning mentality. And obviously, you'll know, being a Leeds fan growing up, watching Maguire, playing with him when he was at Leeds, watching him under Tony Smith, there's that about them now, isn't there? There's that fight and that desire, which we haven't seen since the Morgan years.
Yeah, and I think it's that quality what Mags is passing on as well. He's one of the most decorated players in Super League history. And for him to pass that knowledge on to the players to Hulk, it can only be a good thing for the club. And I think I'm good mates with his mate Lee Smith, and when they're talking that he's absolutely enjoying being at OKR and the coaching role what he's in.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Final question, what's your prediction for this weekend? What are we going?
I'm gonna go 42-6 to Rovers.
43-6. Hope someone gets a drop goal, but try and convince it. Have you got a game this weekend, pal?
All right. Pardon?
Have you got a game this weekend at Keighley?
Yeah, we've got London Scholars away, but I've injured my Achilles, so I will be there this weekend.
Well, he's timed that well, hasn't he?
Get on the piss for the derby. Get yourself in the North Sand, Scott, if we've got a spare ticket.
And the kids are at Caravan as well, so I've timed it very well.
So that is all we've got time for, guys. Scott, thank you so much for coming on, mate. I know you were short of time, and we'll definitely get you on the show again. It's been great to speak to you, pal.
Anytime, lads. Good luck for the weekend, and give it to them dullers.
Definitely, mate. Let's get into them black and white bastards, guys. This has been the Red Robin Podcast. It is Derby Week with me, Joe Piard, Chris Johnson, and special guest Scott Morrell. Rovers are heading to West Hull. Remember, get yourself vaccinated. Make sure you've got your masks on, not for COVID, but just to be spending 80 minutes in front of them. We have been the Red Robin Podcast. Let's hope we are back next week celebrating a Derby victory. Up the Robins, guys. East Hull is wonderful. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Chris.
Cheers, mate.